Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the Success Revolution podcast. My name is Gemma Bernard. A huge welcome to you. If this is the first time you are listening to one of my episodes, thank you for being here. However you have stumbled across my slice of the podcasting world, and if you are someone who's been listening for a while, it is so beautiful to have you back. Today's episode is another episode that is part of the Body Before Business series that I have kind of been putting some episodes towards over the last couple of months. So today I've got a really beautiful interview with Laura Lorios, who really I would say is an expert in the central nervous system. And we have had a really powerful conversation about making your nervous system the foundation, the central foundation of your business, and how important that is. And this is a conversation that was very dear and personal to my heart, because really learning about the nervous system and learning about how to nourish and massage and care for and rebuild and restructure and rewire my nervous system has been honestly some of the most powerful work that I've done. And I've spent a lot of years doing mindset work, and the mindset work has been incredibly helpful. There is no doubt about that. But the nervous system work is another level altogether. And bringing Laura on was just an absolute no-brainer when I was considering who did I want to have conversations with when it came to what it means to put your body before your business and prioritize your body, and really make your body, you know, the central foundation, the structure, the foundation that you build your business on. And the thing is that it actually is, whether you consciously do it or not. Your body is the foundation from which you build and grow and scale your business from. And your ability to grow and scale your business will be capped at what your nervous system is able to handle. That's the reality of it. So having Laura on was a real treat. I learned a lot from her. She is incredibly knowledgeable about the nervous system. And we really just had a great conversation about not only how important it is, but we talked about some of the symptoms of a dysregulated nervous system, symptoms of a regulated nervous system. We talked about the kind of the flux of the nervous system too, which I think is really important. And, you know, we had a very kind of broad conversation around the industry, the coaching industry, the online industry, business in general. So, with this episode, I want you to trust that you're here and listening to this for a reason. Whether you're new to nervous system work or whether it's something that you are very familiar with, this is a conversation we need to be having more of. We need to really be talking more and focusing a lot more on this type of work, whether it's used as a tool to grow your business or it's just done because this is how we actually create safety within our body so that we're not becoming codependent on external sources like business and money and success and launches to actually create safety for us. And that's a really big and important shift that not a lot of people talk about. It's pretty unsexy, to be honest. We live in a culture and a society that really just rewards fast-paced, fast-moving, high achievement, more, more, more. The more culture that we find ourselves in, and that is that most systems and structures in the capitalist society have been built on to really kind of in many ways trap us and keep us wanting more and spending more and buying more and creating more and doing more and more, 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 is something that is the real pandemic. And I know that the more we highlight concepts like body before business, the more we highlight conversations around prioritizing your nervous system and how important that is, I know the more that we can break ourselves free from those structures that really don't serve our greater good at all. Very deep, I know, but I trust that you'll understand what I'm talking about. So I want to invite you into this conversation about making your central nervous system the foundation of your business. And I really trust that through this conversation, you will start to be able to identify for yourself where your nervous system is currently at, and also really start to take the steps to be able to massage and nurture, rebuild and reprogram and rewire your nervous system. So it's healthy, it is supporting you, and is also supporting your dreams and your desires for the life and the business that you want to create. So having said all that, without further ado, here's my incredible conversation with Laura Lorios. Welcome to the Success Revolution podcast with Gemma Bernad. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Success Revolution podcast. I am excited today because I am joined by an incredible guest, Laura Lorios, and welcome to the podcast.
So great to be here with you, Gemma. Thank you.
You are welcome. I am really exceptionally excited for our conversation because you really are such an expert in the field of the nervous system and how important the nervous system is as a foundation for business. And this has been really huge for myself and my clients. So I know you're the woman that's really going to kind of help us understand this and kind of really talk about why this is important. So before we dive into any of that, could you maybe just give us a little bit of an understanding about the work that you do and how it works, and also why? Like, why are you doing this work?
Yeah, great. Yeah, I would love to. So I mostly, my work is, so I do a lot of one-on-one work, and then I also do workshops. And I primarily focus a lot of my work on ultra ambitious, like highly driven women in leadership. Mm-hmm. So this could be women in C-level positions, senior executives, founders of successful startups, along with entrepreneurs, who basically started their journey to wanting to make an impact with their work, they wanting to leave a legacy, yet somehow ended up on the verge of burnout and secretly, you know, desiring to walk away from all the success they've had. So,
and nodding my head along.
Yes, right. And there's usually this like fear underneath too of burning, like needing to burn everything down that they've worked so hard for. And so a lot of what I do with my clients is helping them to reduce and eliminate anxiety, frustration, overwhelm that comes from these sort of high stakes jobs that a lot of these women have, or roles. Even entrepreneurship is sort of a high stakes job, and showing you how to get out of your own, showing them how to get out of their own way so they can achieve the career and life that they've always wanted without the burnout, without the hustle or the fake it or make it mindset or sacrificing their family.
Yes, all the things. Yes to all of the things. And I think so many people listening to this will relate to this. It's interesting because I either find that people have either experienced this, mm-hmm. or they are trying to avoid experiencing this as well, yes. which is a big piece, isn't it? Which can sometimes keep us back. Like, it can sometimes also hold us back because we're like, I don't want to be burnt out. I don't want to be exhausted. I don't want to sacrifice my family. So I have to sacrifice my success instead.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that can happen as well. So that's generally this. So, and how I do this is through working with these women's nervous systems. And so primarily the autonomic nervous system, which is basically working with the body and the brain. And what we've learned through neuroscience and through polyvagal theory is that 80 to 90% of nerves run up from the body to the brain. So when we work with the state of the system, it really changes how we think and how we behave and even how we create and innovate and all the things. So the nervous system is the central piece.
Yes. Oh, so many questions, so many things to say as well. It's so interesting because I think like this, for me, learning about this body up system and approach was really life-changing because I found myself, and I see a lot of people and a lot of my work centered around the opposite. You know what I mean? That it was really like, let's work with the mind, let's work with the brain first, and then let's work with the body. And it's like, it's a complete shift as well. I want to get into that with you, but I really would love to hear from you first. Like,
yeah,
how did you even get into this work? Like, what was your journey to really focusing on the nervous system and helping women in this space?
Yeah. So I actually, back in high school, I knew I wanted to study psychology. I took one psychology course in high school and I was fascinated. It was like, I wanted to understand human behavior. And so that led to me then going, hey, with psychology, you become a therapist. And so then in college, I was started to pursue that career to become a therapist and was getting my master's degree. However, when I was in the master's program, at the program I was in at that time was very cognitive behavioral based, meaning it was like mindset work, basically a lot of talking and thinking your way out of these responses of anxiety or stress or overwhelm. And I found that in my own experience with it personally, and then also with the people that we were training with, because we were starting to see getting hours by seeing clients, like there was like a wall. There was like a almost like an invisible wall that would happen. In the sense, like they would get some relief maybe in the session, and then they'd kind of come right back the next week with the same kind of issue again. And it felt like it was kind of a little bit of a hamster wheel. And so then I decided, okay, maybe I need to see what else is out there. So I'm a very curious person by nature. I was just really wondering, like, there's got to be more to this. So I started investigating, and I found Stephen Porges' work, the polyvagal theory, because he came up with this theory, I think, in 1994. So I found the theory, and everything started to make a lot more sense. Then, of course, I led to Peter Levine's work with somatic experiencing. And Gabor Morte and these others that now are, being more talked about, which is great. But at the time, no one really knew who these people were unless you were in those university settings. And then simultaneously, while I was studying these things, I was also working in the high-end hospitality industry. So I've been in that industry since I was a teenager. I worked my way up, became a manager, worked in very high-end restaurants where it was very high stress. So my own career was very high stress. I was kind of working my way through school and these certifications. And what I was finding was interesting. I started experimenting by bringing what I was learning about the nervous system into my work at the restaurants. And I started to see some amazing things, just first personally for myself, being someone that, was more prone to anxiety too, because these were environments where you were expected to always be on and perform at your best and not make any mistakes. And because these were clients who were paying thousands of dollars sometimes for an experience. So you had to really just be on it. that pressure every night definitely can take a toll on you. And so I started bringing in these things I was learning to help support myself. And then it was funny because then people started asking, what are you doing? You seem like I had my colleagues, even the owner of the restaurant would come in and go, how are you like holding all of this that's going on without like, basically having a panic attack?
Yeah.
And I was like, this is why. And so then I started to see this bridge of like, oh wait, this work isn't just for like in the therapy room or when you're having a complete breakdown. We can bring this work in, like what needs to be brought in into like to our everyday lives. Like into like when we're actually working, when we're doing business. Because I would bring in these tools and techniques when I was talking with clients and signing contracts for them and like making business decisions. I needed these tools to make these business decisions. So that's when I decided, okay, this is what I want to do. I love business. I had a lot of experience working with entrepreneurs and working in this high end industry. And I also had this experience with psychology and neuroscience and polyvagal and the nervous system and just bridge them together and realized that. And then women, of course, a lot of the people I worked with in these industries were a lot of them were men and also, but a lot of them were women too, high achiever types, consistently trying to climb the ladder. And they were coming to me for support. They were like, I need help. Like I'm having a hard time turning off. Like I don't know how to. I get home at night and from work and I can't relax and I'm not sleeping and I come into work with, headaches or I have a lot of imposter syndrome. And so it just started kind of evolving from there. People just coming to me for support.
Yeah. It's incredible, isn't it? And it always, when we can see and feel and experience those own results for ourselves, we really tap into the power of it as well. But it's interesting. I'd love to have a conversation because as you were talking about this particular area, because as you were talking, what really kind of came to me is how desensitized we have become to things like anxiety and burnout. and exhaustion,
mm-hmm.
how socially acceptable it is. It's almost, it's, it, and I'm really interested on your perspective around this. This is, I guess, my opinion. I would love to kind of hear what you think and see and believe about this. But in some ways, it's almost become some ways a badge of honor to be like successful and exhausted. I'm burnt out, but like I'm successful, you know. Yes, I'm, mm-hmm. You know, I've got anxiety every day when I go home and I can't sleep, but I'm at the top of my game. Like, look where I am, look what I've achieved, but you know, I'm feeling all of this. Mm-hmm. I really feel like it, and I think we're shifting, but mm-hmm. what do you think? Like, is that something that you've kind of seen? And probably a lot of the work that you're helping undo, but do you kind of see this space where we are really desensitized to this complete and utter dysregulation of our system? We're just like, it's just normal. This is what success feels like.
100%. Yeah. So it's interesting because when I first start working with clients, it's actually sometimes one of the first questions they ask me is, how can I be successful without being quote unquote dysregulated? Like, yeah. I got to where I got because of my go yes. mentality. And mm-hmm. they're a little bit afraid sometimes to do this work because then they think maybe that is going to shut off and they're not going to be able to be as successful. And so this is where it gets interesting because, again, it makes sense for them to feel that way or think that way, partially because, like you mentioned, like how culture is kind of, I guess our culture has been designed to some degree to be kind of on 24/7. Technology has only kind of accelerated that process.
Yeah, definitely.
But also the aspect around when it's like, so in nervous system work, Stephen Porges talks, I think it was Deb Dana, they talk about the home state, which is your ventral vagal state. So that is when the nervous system is regulated, meaning you feel more of that sense of connection and you can feel more grounded and anchored. It doesn't always mean you're calm, but there's a sense of being feeling safe.
Yes.
And then there's your home away from home state, which is fight or flight, freeze or shutdown. So for the majority of us, for various reasons, through intergenerational trauma, through, you know, just like it says, how society has been somewhat built and then technology and these things, our nervous system has come acquainted to, let's say, fight or flight as the home state. It's like, this is technically home away from home, but this is what I know. This is my home. And even if we don't necessarily want to be there, even if we know maybe some of the damaging effects of it to some degree, we accept it because it's what we, again, what we've known. I don't know anything else. And anything that's unknown to me is going to be a threat in and of itself as well, right?
Yeah.
So this is where it becomes this really interesting process of rewiring that and untangling some of that, the beliefs that have kind of over time been ingrained through our upbringing, maybe how we saw our parents, you know, how they created success, or people that we admire in our culture, how they created success, how we did in school, right? And the ways in which we were conditioned in that respect as well. Unwiring some of that and being able to show the system that there is another way. And so for a lot of my clients, it takes sometimes a little bit of time for that because the nervous system doesn't move at a rapid pace, but we can begin to see some evidence of ways of, oh, wow, like I can still be mobilized. So I can still do things and show up to work and get things done without feeling anxious. You have to show the system that you can't just tell it. So it has to begin to equate through the exercises I give my clients that, oh, there's a sense of safety in some of these things that I'm doing where that I don't have to trigger an anxiety response. And for a lot of us, specifically, like for example, high achievers, I'll just use them because I love most of the ones I work with are high achievers. They've equated anxiety with productivity, anxiety with success. So we have to replace that and we have to show the system that we can have success have success without anxiety.
Yeah. And it is a process of patience. It's, I mean, having like, I myself have been doing this. I mean, when you talked about that point of, you know, having created success and then you get to the point where you want to burn everything down, I was there at the end of 2020. That's exactly what happened to me. And I did, I went, I'm pausing. I didn't know why, but I just said, I've got to stop. I can't outwardly I had everything, but inside I was feeling exhausted and I was absolutely feeling unfulfilled. I was like, I've got to stop. And I had been in a process of lots of mindset work, lots of healing work, you know, all the things, but it was very much that top-down approach. And, you know, I think this is where I again, would love to hear your thoughts on this. I think this is probably one of the reasons why mindset work, and it's, I don't believe it's, there's a right or a wrong. I think there's a place for it.
Yes, absolutely.
But I think, and I wonder whether that's why mindset work is so popular, because you do get that quick in the moment shift, whereas nervous system, it requires patience. I've been working at it for 2 years with myself, 2 years of like showing up every day, letting myself be dysregulated and finding my way to come back to like practicing aware, like, and it's slow, but I mean, I'm undoing a nervous system that has been, you know, in place for 38 years, you know,
exactly.
It takes like, exactly. You know, when I think about it and go, well, 2 years, 2.5 years to, you know, work on a new one really isn't a long time in the scope of 38 years to build it. But we find ourselves, we're in a culture, I think, of wanting quick fixes, quick remedies. I want to keep up the pace. I've got to keep moving. I've got to keep going. And we come in with nervous system work and it's like slow and patient. How do you help people like in that process really of being able to find and tap into the patience that is required to do this work, knowing that this is really such an important part of what we're here to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. And thank you so much for sharing that piece about yourself and the mindset. Cause I found that for a lot of my clients as well, they really like mindset work because it gave them more of that instant sort of, evidence of something happening or shifting or changing. Right. And so for my clients, usually when they're in that, the high achiever, for example, that ultra ambitious, like go, go, go energy, it's a mobilized state. So this is what I see sometimes, not a mistake, but like when these types of individuals, let's say they do like meditation or they try to go into something where they're immediately trying to calm down or calm their system, maybe even equate nervous system regulation with being calm. And it's not, it's not. And so what I do with my clients and what's really helpful for them is we change, like, so a lot of the tools I give them are doing tools. We have to work with the mobilization energy first. So we're not just going to sit here and process our inner child and all this. That's actually sometimes too much for our nervous system when it's been in a more mobilized state. So we get even simpler than that. So a lot of what I show my clients are like exercises they can do that are like neuro exercises that are like 1 to 3 minutes only, and they can feel that shift in 1 to 3 minutes, giving their brain evidence that something is happening, that there is a change, there's more, but it's at least giving them kind of like a sense of something's happening versus like just trying to sit and wait and see what happens. So it all depends on the state of the person. And for the people I primarily work with, they are in a highly mobilized state. So they need to work with that mobilization. So trying to like slam on the brakes and have them meditate or try to go into these deeper layers of like their trauma or their inner, even feeling their body is too much. For most people, that's still too advanced. So we have to take it even simpler, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I give them small exercises where they, I noticed a difference there. Like I don't feel, maybe I was at a 10 in my anxiety and now I'm at a 6. There's more layers underneath that still, but it opens the door for them to be able to see and feel on a physiological level a change.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
It makes a complete sense. It also just kind of brings in this piece around like letting it be incremental. And just letting and that's important. I would love to, like, what, because you just said about, you know, regulation isn't like, it's not just about being calm, which is interesting unto itself. So could you maybe explain to us a little bit about that? Like what are the different facets of a regulated system? Like, because a lot of people listening to this, actually, maybe we can go into what dysregulated, because a lot of people listening to this, I think this is an education process. As I said, we've normalized anxiety, we've normalized exhaustion, we've normalized stress. So what are some of the signs that someone might be in a, you know, dysregulated state?
Yeah, great, great question. So it's like one of the first things I always like to educate my clients on are some of the signs, just so they become a little more aware. So some of the examples I want to give actually pertain a lot to work. So how it shows up for a lot of my clients. So one of them is the feeling tired but wired. So for example, like you're maybe on the weekends, you're trying to relax, maybe not doing much, maybe on your couch, but your brain is still really on. Yes. You're thinking about all the things, you're not really resting.
Yes.
Or at night you're sleeping 8-9 hours, but you wake up still really tired and you need caffeine. That's because your system didn't get full rest at night. So another one is, once I hit X amount of money, once I get this promotion, then I can relax. That's one. There's an aspect to endlessly checking for, endlessly checking your email. Like, so let's say, for example, a lot of executives I work with, you know, they're emailing their team throughout the day, or maybe you're an entrepreneur, you're emailing your team or you're emailing clients. And then you're consistently like hitting that refresh button to see if they've responded yet or sent you that payment yet.
Same with social media. Checking social media, the constant refresh, the same thing there.
Saying like, checking your DMs, scrolling, like you want to stop scrolling, but you can't, like you just keep going. It's like, you're almost like it's a freeze state actually. So it's almost like you're kind of hypnotized and kind of stuck. Yep. Another one is avoiding creativity and testing due to fear of judgment or failure. So there might be an element of wanting to try something new or be more creative, but you're not really doing that because, again, there's that fear of maybe failing at it. Another one is a lot of perfectionism, which is basically a type of procrastinating where you will push projects off to the very last minute when stress is really high. So you need that adrenaline and cortisol to get you moving. You need that stress chemistry. Getting sick right before or right after a launch or a big project at work. I see this happen a lot. So your immune system gets really affected when you got a nervous system dysregulation. So it lowers your immune response. So that's why a lot of people get sick right before or right after some, like I said, a big launch within their business or completing of a big project at work. Another one is, avoiding looking at your email. That's another one I see sometimes too, where, you know, sometimes clients don't want to open their email or check because like the system just, again, is kind of getting overloaded or overwhelmed. Another one is like, everything looks, you can endure high pressure situations, but then in private, you're breaking down a lot. So maybe like, let's say you had a big meeting and everything went well in the meeting, but then right after the meeting, you're crying or you're having a lot of anxiety or you're thinking that everything you said was not good, or you have that imposter syndrome coming up. Like these are some of the aspects of nervous system dysregulation.
I want to get into then what nervous system regulation may look and feel like and experience. Before we do, something's come up. I would love to ask you, have you heard of the term upper limiting?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because as you were talking about that, one of the aspects of nervous system dysregulation, and you said, you know, people have a very successful launch and they crash at the end. I see a lot of people refer to that as an upper limiting problem. What is your, have you got any thoughts around that? Anything that kind of comes up when I ask you about that? That, because it's interesting as you're saying that
yeah,
I think that there is, I think that is not an accurate upper limiting, saying that's an upper limiting thing is not necessarily an accurate reflection of what's going on there.
100%. So for me, because I forget the name of the book right now that talks about upper limiting.
The Big Leap. Everyone loves the book. Okay. Everyone idolizes this book. It's by Gay Hendricks and it's an incredible book and there's lots in it, but it's interesting because I see it very much as a buzzword in the online space.
So actually what's happening is it has more to do with your window of tolerance. It has more to do with your nervous system capacity than it has to. I mean, so on some level you could say it's the upper limit, but really it's a capacity thing.
Yes.
So when the system, when you throw in, like I said, like, okay, you got emails, you have family, you got clients you're responsible for, there's a pandemic that just recently happened, like you're throwing all these things in, the system is getting overwhelmed essentially, right? And so and it's going to prioritize because the key for the system is to keep you alive. That's its primary job.
Yes.
So it's going to put things in a certain order and say, okay, In order for us to conserve energy, you know, we need to maybe shut some things off, meaning the immune system might start to then lower because we need our resources yep. going into fight or flight versus keeping the immune system up and running.
Yeah.
So this is where we see then, like, for example, that example of someone getting sick right before or right after a big launch, let's say, of something within their business. That's what's happened. The system is prioritizing because essentially your window of tolerance or your capacity is very small,
yeah,
so to speak, or it's lower. And it's just like, if you are, you also think in terms of a backpack, if you're just throwing a bunch of stuff in a backpack, eventually there's no room in the backpack anymore. So you need to make more space. And the way you do that is through regulating the system. And when we say regulating, what I mean by that too is the system naturally contracts and expands. That's just what it does. And so when we talk about regulation, we're not saying you never go into fight or flight or you never go into freeze. We need these states. What we're saying is you're not chronically living in them because our system wasn't designed to live in fight or flight. Yes. It wasn't designed to live in freeze. So it's your ability to move back into more of that ventral vagal state. So maybe you go into fight or flight, let's say for 20, 30 minutes, that's a normal response. That maybe, you know, you feel some of that butterfly effect in your belly or your throat kind of tightening a little bit after reading an email. Like that doesn't mean you're dysregulated. That might be a response you need in that moment. Yes. You might need to mobilize. You might need to get angry. You might need to cry.
Yes. Right.
But it's after 20, 30 minutes, like I come back and suddenly all that, I don't feel that anymore. Like my system came back into a state of feeling safe again.
Yes. I'm so love that you said that because I think we are really good at playing in extremes with things. Yes. So it's like, we've really got like, oh, I'm dysregulated all the time. Now I've got to be regulated all the time. Like I've got to be either I'm anxious or I'm calm all the time. And knowing that there's so much flex and space and movement, and our bodies would not have been designed with all the chemicals that they have if they weren't intended for certain uses. So I love that you've kind of tapped into that aspect of it's okay to experience anxiety or a little bit of stress, or it's healthy to have a response to things that happen. Yes. It's healthy because I think it's very easy particularly when for someone like me, again, when we have been so dysregulated to actually become somewhat scared of being back in that state again. And me like learning to build my muscle and like, okay, so this particular experience has triggered something in me and I am feeling a little bit of this, and that's okay. That's normal. Yeah. That's my body's normal response. Okay, beautiful. And I don't have to fear that. So I'm so glad that you spoke that because I think that one of the issues I have, I like to bust a lot of myths. I like to bring a lot of truth into conversations and let people know these things. And I think one of the things that I have found really hard with a lot of the talk about energy and emotions and things like that is that we put a hierarchy on things like shame and fear are bad, peace and gratitude and love are good. And it's like saying the same thing with the nervous system. It's like saying, well, being regulated is good and being dysregulated is bad. And it's not, it's, as you say, it's the chronic state of that needs the addressing, not that point of dysregulation.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up and kind of busting that myth. And this is the other thing too, right? With nervous, when you're nervous, with this work, there's a lot of nuance. And so when you've, one of the reasons, you know, you're kind of, I guess, moving into more of this natural state of your system and how it's supposed to work is that you can embrace more nuance. Mm-hmm. So if you notice you're thinking very black and white about things, that is giving you a signal right there that your system is somewhat dysregulated, or it's in a fear response. It's in a, it's in a survival state.
Yes. Love it. Yeah. That's a lot of the conversations I have with my clients and the women that are in my world want to get out of black and white thinking, black and white success, black and white everything, and playing in the extremes. So it is very nuanced. And as you say, that's really, when we're able to play in that space, it is a sign of, you know, being able to be in a healthy relationship with our nervous system too. Okay. Yep. So let's slip in and talk about then what a regulated system, how that might be experienced, how that might look, what that might be like.
Yeah, that's a really great question as well. Because oftentimes, again, we've only known this one state. So like, what does another state actually look like? So,
yes.
So one of them would be things like you can, so you're flexible. So oftentimes when we're like, we just talked about that black and whiteness, yes, there's more nuance, you have more flexibility with things. You can experience more, you're experiencing more ease or a sense of play or a sense of flow in your work day, or your life in general. You feel more present. That's another big piece of this. For a lot of my clients, what they start to notice is that they're actually more present. They're like, wow, like I'm not finding myself rushing as much through things. I'm actually able to kind of just like sit and watch my kid play for 20 minutes without necessarily having to do something in that moment. So I'm just present with them. You can easily focus and retain information. So another one too is sometimes, you know, with nervous system dysregulation, it's hard for us to focus. It's hard for us to sometimes retain what we're actually learning or taking in from the world, or from our environment to some degree. And so one of the ways you know you're got a more regulated nervous system is that you're able to actually focus better. You're able to listen more. You're actually able to retain the information. So that's another thing that we're seeing a rise of people talking about ADHD. Now that's a whole other conversation. But there could be some of that going on. I'm not diagnosing or anything like that. But for some of my clients, though, what I've seen though after working with their nervous system is that the diagnosis they gave themselves, a lot of those symptoms that they initially diagnosed themselves with having ADHD are now gone. And so it's actually, again, the nervous system not being fully regulated. So yeah, it's your sense of, you're being able to focus, retain information. Your mindset is more of, I can, and of course, and I've got this. So the other thing is, like we talked about earlier, right? You did mindset and then just the body. So when we address the physiology of the nervous system, your thoughts change as well. So when we're in fight or flight, we're going to have more of that urgency. I have to do it right now. If we're in freeze, it's going to be thoughts like I have to, but I can't. So you want to do something, but you're not taking the action. That's freeze. And so when you're in a more regulated system, more of your thoughts are going to be, I have time. Of course I can. I got this. There's more of a sense of spaciousness happening in your day or your ability to think about the tasks that you have. You're able to prioritize better, delegate more. There's an element too of being more primed for communication, meaning you're going to have your tone of voice is going to be more of good inflection. So when you're in fight or flight, for example, you're tone and pace of your voice is going to be very fast. It's going to be very rapid. And then when you're in shutdown, it might be more monotone. There's like less inflection. So when you're more regulated, the voice is like, has a good, nice flow. Like there's like it's an up and down vocal range. You feel more engaged again and present with life. I mentioned that. Another one too, recovering quickly from stress. And what I mean by quickly is like stress is going to happen. We're not eliminating stress here, but when you can feel the stress, experience it, and yet still move back into a state of feeling connected with yourself, present with what's going on, being able to make a decision. Oftentimes too, with nervous system dysregulation, we have a difficult time making decisions. And when we're more regulated, decision-making doesn't quite seem like such a daunting task to us anymore. It feels a lot easier because those parts of our brain are more accessible for us. And I guess another thing would be to, there's an element to not needing, you're not procrastinating as much. You're actually getting things done sometimes ahead of schedule even. So you're not waiting till the 11th hour. You're not relying on stress chemistry to get you through the day or through the project. In fact, eventually a lot of my clients, what they notice when they start working with their nervous system is they actually don't even, eventually what happens is they don't even really like the feeling of adrenaline anymore. But before they were like thriving on it, they were living off of it, caffeine, deadlines, you name it, like, just give me the adrenaline. And then when their system became more regulated, it was like, yeah, adrenaline could come in still, cause that's a natural, we need adrenaline, but excess adrenaline did not feel good to their system anymore.
Yeah. I think, again, it comes back to understanding that there are healthy levels of adrenaline. Like, it is okay to have access or access those chemicals in our body to get things done. It's just, as you say, the excess levels, and it's a reliance and a dependence on those things. exactly. as well as what I'm hearing from you. Yes. Is what I'm hearing from you also. Yeah, it's so interesting. I think, you know, what I'm hearing from you is really interesting because, again, I just want to talk about the mindset aspect. Like what I'm hearing from you is that when the nervous system is regulated, the mind follows along in this, like the brain and the thoughts, the way that we're thinking and perceiving and experiencing ourselves and business shifts without having to force ourselves to believe, oh, I'm thinking this way. Like, oh, I can't do this. I'm scared. No, you can do this. It's like, well, if we just actually work with the body, then the mind will respond to that. So it's so interesting how we've found ourselves thinking that mindset work is, air quote, the quickest kind of way, the quickest fix, but really the sustainability of that shift, what it sounds like you're saying to me is the sustainability of that shift comes through the body.
Yes, exactly. Because the mindset is very limited, right? It's you usually have to keep doing it over and over and over.
Yes.
It's not something that necessarily always really sticks. And the reason for that is because the limbic system in the brain, along with the nervous system, this is pre-verbal. So you're trying to use words to tell yourself that everything's great, everything's fine, everything's going to be okay, you're safe. But you're trying to communicate that to two systems that are pre-verbal. That's not the language that it speaks. So there's nothing wrong with mindset work. What we have to do first, we have to address the physiological response in the body. And then you can bring in words, maybe, because then those parts of your brain that speak words are going to be available for you to actually even interpret what's going on. But you can't talk the system into feeling safe. It doesn't work like that. It has to feel it. It has to experience it.
Yep. I know. And I again can attest to that. I mean, the whole concept, it's so interesting as I reflect now, because it seems so obvious, but when it was first brought to my attention that I didn't feel safe, I was shocked. I was like shocked. And then I was like, of course. But I remember being in that space of thinking, well, I just need to affirm. Mm-hmm. I just need to affirm that I'm safe. I just need to remind myself that I'm safe. And it's not to say that that didn't support me and that didn't help, but I absolutely knew immediately I had to combine that with more somatic practices, because it wasn't just stick. It wasn't enough to be, I could feel and sense in my body. I was telling myself I was safe, but I could feel my body was like, was not responding really that effectively. It was still feeling that heightened level of anxiety or fear or, you know, whatever it was. And so for me, it was very much that combination, just felt like, you know, the power really came in that combination. But I mean, that has certainly been the experience for me and a lot of women that I work with too, is that, you know, supporting them to work with the body and work with the nervous system has had such an incredible impact on their mindset. And it's, you know, allowed them to, I think, also play a lot more with how they think, which I found interesting too. As I'm just kind of talking to you, because we talked about play, like that is a sign of a system that's regulated instead of, you know, also being in this very fixed way of thinking, like, because we can also, you know, we can be fixed in our limiting beliefs, but we can also be fixed in the beliefs in, you know, these more air quote positive beliefs. But I've found a lot of freedom in playing and being very creative in thinking, like being more in curiosity than being in a fixed level of thinking, which is interesting as you're talking, because I sort of, like when I think about that and tap into the energy of that, that certainly feels like a much more regulated response for me. Anyway, it's like not like going from I can't do this to I can do this. It's more like, oh, I used to think I can't do this. Now I'm more in the space of interesting. I wonder how I could do this. Like, I wonder what it would be like to do this. And that feels like an aspect of nervous system regulation. Does that sound like, am I kind of talking
No, exactly. That's it. And I love that you shared that personally for you, what your process was, and even what you noticed within your clients in terms of how they're thinking or viewpoint or how they approach something begins to change. So that's the thing. This is the central part of how we do everything. It's like, so how we're launching, how we are, even based on the state of your system, how you communicate with others, how you build relationships, how you lead your team, how you, you know, decide what you want to invest in. Like, all of that is based on the state of your system.
That is so interesting you say that, because I feel like I want to talk about something else a little bit as well. And kind of maybe just get into a little bit of maybe some detail with this, because I hear, like, I want to talk about something very specific now. Because I talk a lot, like a lot of people that I work with have a lot of experience, a lot of probably stress around how to, like, what to charge, their pricing, you know, those sorts of things. And there's a lot of talk in our space about charging your worth, and even things like charging the value of the transformation. And it really dawned on me a little while ago that pricing has very little to do with that. It has everything to do with our nervous system. And I truly, like, our, and so I'm curious about your thoughts on this, whether this is, whether you, there's, you've got, you know, what's kind of your expertise around this, because, you know, our, I think our pricing is very much a reflection of the capacity of our nervous system. And I also believe that people's willingness and ability to pay a price is actually more connected in with their nervous system's capacity to take that level of risk, which is, I think, a very different way of, like, viewing the strategy of pricing. I just am curious to kind of talk about this with you than anything. I'm not really saying anything. I'm just kind of curious. Like, what's your take when I say that? What do you think about that? What do you, what kind of comes up for you? Like, what's your expertise around this?
Gosh, yeah, no, I'm glad you brought this up. It's a great question, and it's a great thing to explore, especially because we're talking about business. So there's multiple layers here. One is just from a business perspective. One thing I've noticed in the industry, just because I come from more of a business background, I've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs who built, you know, brick and mortar places and built them into 7-8 figure businesses. There was a very much a strategy to how they were charging. So it was interesting at the time, the people I was working with anyway, it had less to do with their worth. It had more to do with the costs of, like, what it would, like, okay, I got to pay my employees this, I got to pay taxes for this. So it came from more of a, like, a, that kind of business-oriented strategy of
very
of
logical. Like,
it was very logical. There you go. Exactly.
It is very logical. Yeah. Very, and then you're right. There's absolutely that aspect. I think you're right. Like, I think people either very logical about their pricing or they're very emotional about their pricing.
Exactly. Right. So you sometimes see two ends of the spectrum where it's like someone just only logic or someone who's just all in emotion about what to charge. And so we want, again, want to bring in nuance here. So we want to bring in that business element, of course, because it's needed, because we need to really know what our expenses so we can actually have a sustainable business. And at the same time, like, so when the system is, let's say, more in fight or flight, it's going to feel, this is interesting. So I see it on both ends. So for the client, when they're in a sense of urgency about something, like the fight or flight energy brings a sense of urgency. There can be an element to that Well, I'll give you an example. I'm going to just back up a little. I'll give you an example. So over the 2 year with the pandemic, we saw a big rise in the coaching industry, at least I did and a few of my colleagues, of a spike of people investing suddenly in coaching. There are various reasons for this. People, some people got laid off. Some people were unsure what was going to happen. So they're like, I got to get on the online space and become a coach. And so we saw some new people kind of coming in, or just people seeking support for what they were experiencing, because it was very high stress and no one knew what the heck was going to happen. So people's nervous systems were in a very much a state of dysregulation. And I would actually say freeze. So when we're in freeze, it's a blended state of mobilization and shutdown. And when we're in freeze, we want, there's an element of wanting to move. So we want a little bit of that sense of adrenaline. So there were some people coming in and just going, the adrenaline rush that they got from investing, like, you know, just putting in a bunch of money to something and going, I'm going to get this really big result. And it was like all in and like all or nothing kind of feeling, like ride or die. And this feeling of, I'm going to get my safety from this. And there was a sense of needing certainty, because there was so much uncertainty and the system was just looking for safety everywhere it could. And so for some people, that's how they invested, was like, I'm just going to throw it all into this specific person or program in order to make me feel safe, in order for give me some certainty. And maybe for that, for some people, it was going into business coaching or coaching in general. Then there was also people that I've seen too, where when they see a price, they get more dysregulated in the other way, where it's like the system kind of gets overloaded or overwhelmed in a sense too. And it kind of goes into a shutdown response where then nothing happens, because now the system is really needing a resource. It's like it's at the bottom of the autonomic ladder. And so it's going, well, we don't have the energy or the resources for this. So we need to conserve even more now. We can't even take action. So for a lot of people I see when they're on calls, like sometimes trying to convince, not convince, but there's so many layers to this, Gemma, but yes, when it comes to pricing, just from the client perspective, this is where it gets really interesting, like how you're also marketing yourself and the types of people you're attracting based on the state of your nervous system as well. Yes. Because how you sell something, the state in which your system is when you're selling it, is how someone is going to buy it. So if you're in a state of a lot of urgency, if you're in a state of a lot of fight or flight, most likely that is going to get reflected in your marketing and how, and even the types of people that are going to come to you. And the downside of that is over time, if you're only attracting, for example, those types of clients, the ride or die, so to speak, or needing that instant sort of result, that's going to burn you out pretty quickly. So yes. I know we're talking about pricing, but there's an element too, to like, there's an art here to how you're pricing, how you're speaking about it, the state of your system here, as to the types of people that are kind of come in to also is going to give you that level of sustainability. And what I'm also seeing a lot happen in this industry over and over again with people I've talked with and worked with is that they're getting these huge cash injections, but they're not, it's not sustainable. It's not predictable. Mm. And when, so even if you're getting a huge cash injection, it feels good, right? It feels really good. Mm. But if you're coming for more of a, let's say a job where you got paid every 2 weeks or every month, there was predictability in that. It doesn't matter necessarily even the amount that you're getting. Because if the system is going to, it doesn't know if we're going to get it again. So it still perceives it as somewhat maybe unsafe, or you get a big rush of stress chemistry from it, and then you want more, and it becomes this endless cycle where you're not satiated. So then you get burned out on that level too. So
yeah,
I'm kind of answering your question in all these other
ways. No, I think I think I agree with you. Like I asked the question and I even heard this is very nuanced and there are so many layers to it. One of the key things I really took out of what you said there that I think we can probably maybe pull on the thread a little bit of is, interestingly, how your nervous system is when you're selling is very much going to call in and attract people of a similar nervous system.
Yes.
And that is, I mean, that's interesting for me because I'm also going through a phase right now where I'm really reassessing and looking at how I can build a lot more sustainability into my business. And that a lot of that is to do with nervous system. And a lot of that is to do with how much do I, you know, allow myself to, you know, almost let, God, it's so much detail around this, Laura. I don't even know where to go, but it's almost letting all facets of my nervous system sell. But, you know, as you said, there's a place for adrenaline. Sometimes I am very passionate and very fired up about what I'm talking about. And that is a very different state to be in. And then there are other times where my nervous system is, you know, it is much more, I guess, regulated, and it's just very, there's a calmness to it, or there's a groundedness to it as well. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, just kind of, I think, as I sort of see this play out in my business, but also sit back and watch a lot happening in the industry and seeing a lot of these patterns that are playing out, is that, again, I think we're rewriting a lot in this industry about how we sell, is what I'm trying to say at the end of this. We are at a pivotal place, I think, very much where people, like you're right, there's a lot of the ride or die energy, and a lot of people are like, I don't want to be in that ride or die energy anymore. So, but they don't know what they don't know what they don't know what the other option is, you know, because we're so used to this. It's like, well, what's the other option? Like, what is the other energy I buy? And if I'm not ride or die,
right,
and I am still committed, this isn't about being in, it's like, well, how do I buy? How do I sell? How do I invest? I don't know that that's something that we can answer in this, you know, in the next few minutes, but it's interesting nonetheless, right?
Yeah, I know. It's great we're asking these questions. And again, there's many layers here. Yeah. And I think that one of the things to look at, first of all, for those who are listening, like how you got into this industry to begin with. So I would first just invite you to even think about that. Like, where were you in your life when you decided to become, let's say, a coach or an online entrepreneur or just an entrepreneur in general? What was going on in your life at that time? What would you say your stress levels were like? What would, you know, just kind of get curious and say, for some people, I say, oh, I started this in 2020 when my business, my brick and mortar was closed and I had to get online. Or maybe for some, they've been here for a while in this industry before the pandemic, but they were in a corporate job and they left that corporate job to then pursue more freedom, right? More time freedom, more money freedom. But at the same time, they left because they were experiencing symptoms of burnout. And then they started a business, you know, hoping to not experience that burnout again, but they're repeating some of those same cycles. And I'm not saying there's an easy black and white answer to all of this, but for the majority of us, we have, the only way we've known how to run or start a business is from survival. And on some level it is true, because we need money to survive. So it's like, I get that. But it's like, I want you just to invite you to think about this for just a moment in terms of your own nervous system and where you were at when you started your business, because that'll give you a lot of clues then as to how you're running things currently, even, or how you're pricing things, or how you're, the types of clients that you maybe you're working with. For some people I'm seeing, they think they need to walk away because, again, like we talked about at the beginning, they want to build this legacy. They want, but now they want to burn it all down because they're burnt out. I mean, the system can't do anymore. And so now it's just, I need to walk away. So yeah, I would just invite you to kind of look at that. Maybe invite you to begin to find some way to work with your nervous system. Preferably with someone if you can. I know not everybody can do that, but if you can, try to find someone, just because we are also social creatures, we wire to each other. So some of these things you can do on your own, absolutely. And I would definitely start there if you want. And then the next piece with that would actually be to work with someone, because this is how you wire to your parents. I mean, your caretakers are the ones your nervous system wired to. So in order to rewire, we also need another human being. We need another person in there to also help you with that as well.
Yeah. There is so much around this, but it's also, I think, like we've talked around a lot, but I think there is a very simple message amongst all of this, and that is that your central nervous system really needs to become the central part of your business, or the invitation is there for you anyway to allow your, because it already is. Let's be honest. It actually already is the central part of your business. So we may as well invite in a level of awareness and like intentionality into how we work with it, because it already is. Laura, we've covered off on a lot. And I mean, the truth is I could talk to you about so many different areas around this, but what is it? Like, what is really the message that you really are deeply passionate about communicating when it comes to the nervous system and how we work with it in business?
Yeah. So I guess one of my most passionate messages, first off, is it's not the number of hours that you work, or even necessarily the type of job that you have. So if, like, for example, some of the things you talked about today was about around burnout. So if you think you have some of those symptoms, or maybe you've already been through burnout once before, also your system remembers that. So if you're noticing that you're having difficulty with certain things right now within your job or even your business, it's because your system is protecting you. So it doesn't want to go through the burnout again. This is why you're experiencing maybe some of those symptoms of the freeze, for example, where you're procrastinating on a lot of things, or you're not launching certain things, or you want to burn it down, or whatever the thing may be.
Yeah.
And so my message to you would be, I guess, is that it's not necessarily the tasks themselves. It's not the price necessarily that you're charging, or, you know, like some of these other things we look at from a business perspective, which are important, but it's more to do with the state of your system. So burnout is created by the state of your nervous system. It's not, some of these other things definitely play a factor, a role in it,
yep.
but it's not the ultimate reason why people burn out. The number of hours or the type of job that they have, or even the amount of money that they make or things like that. It's that's not what it is. It's your nervous system.
Yeah. I think that's such an important shift, because we really, like, as you say, we get into this space where we want to burn everything down because we think it's the business, we think it's the program, we think it's the structure, we think it's the whatever it is, but those things change and we're still left feeling the same. So we've definitely got to look at things very, very differently mm-hmm. as well. So if people would like to connect with you and kind of learn more about this and maybe even work with you from this, what's the best place for them to find out more?
Yeah. So you can go to my Instagram. I'm on there, pretty active on my Instagram, specifically my stories. I post lots. Mm-hmm. You can send me a message there. You can also reach out to me on LinkedIn, because that's another area because I work with a lot of, like I said, executives. So mm-hmm. you can reach out to me there and I'll get back to you. So basically what it'd be, I do work well one-on-one. I also do workshops. So if you have a mastermind and you want to bring this in and, you know, like really teach the clients that you have about the nervous system, about how to work with their nervous system. Mm. I also do workshops around that in the corporate and also in the coaching space. So you can also reach mm-hmm. out to me about that. And then I also, just recently too, I've added some, like, one, you can reach out to me and ask more about this, but if you're looking at also examining specifically your marketing or how you set up your business from the perspective of your nervous system, I also do like calls around that as well. We work, we look at your overall Amazing. Business and then the state of your system. And then we kind of like combine the two together. I mean, I do that one-on-one work, but we also have like specifically like business strategy mixed with state of nervous system work that I do with my clients. So any of those
Amazing.
Things. Yeah.
I love it. Well, I'll make sure everything is linked up in the show notes for this episode too, to make it really simple and easy for people to connect in with you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about this and making it simple, but also really bringing a lot of truth into this conversation as well. I really appreciate that. I think I know from my own personal experience how important this work has been. So I'm deeply passionate about getting this message out for the same reason as you say, that it's, you know, burnout, exhaustion, the fatigue, you know, all these things that we're feeling isn't necessarily because of the things we're doing. It really is the capacity and the state of our nervous system. So thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you, Gemma.